Good morning, and welcome to you and the radio audience. We appreciate you tuning in, and we hope that you listen for the duration of this program as we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have a question about something that's said on the program, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject that you'd like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us. We'd love to hear from you. And you can do so with the information given by the announcer, or you can contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. You know, in this day of uncertainty, one thing that we can know is that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. Understanding inspiration is fundamental to all else that we believe and do in our service unto God. So if the Bible is not of God, then what value is it to us? First of all, let's examine the question, what is inspiration? According to B.B. Warfield in the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, Volume 3, page 1473, he says that inspiration is the supernatural influence exerted on the sacred writers by the Spirit of God, by virtue of which their writings are given divine trustworthiness. I think maybe perhaps David said it best in 2 Samuel chapter 23, beginning with verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, and his word was on my tongue. Paul also said that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. He stated that in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. In fact, the term inspired of God means God breathed, and that's definition by A.T. Robertson in his Word Pictures of the New Testament. Now, this does not have reference to the effect that the Scriptures have on the one who reads it. But by the fact that it is God-breathed, it tells us that it is of divine origin. In fact, the Old Testament writers, they were also inspired. Moses spoke and he wrote as he was directed to speak and to write. In fact, when given the Ten Commandments, Moses said in Exodus 20 and verse 1, God spake all these words, saying. Even after that, the children of Israel returned from Babylon, the Babylonian captivity, Ezra was told to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. That we read in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 1. In fact, later, in that very same book, in chapter 10 and verse 29, we find this statement, God's law, which was given by Moses. And later, when Moses reiterated the law to Israel, he attributed every word of the law to God. And let's look at Deuteronomy 5 and see what he says here, beginning with verse 1. And Moses called all of Israel and said to them, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and the judgments which I speak in your hearing today, that you may learn them and be careful to observe them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord did not make this covenant with our fathers, but with us, those who are here today, all of us who are alive. The Lord talked with you face to face on the mountain, from the midst of the fire. I stood between the Lord and you at that time to declare to you the word of the Lord. For you were afraid because of the fire, and you did not go up to the mountain. He said, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. We know, too, that the prophets spoke as God directed. Isaiah was preaching, as he said in Isaiah 1, verses 1 and 2, what, quote, the Lord has spoken, end of quote. In chapter 6, he tells of his call to be a prophet. God also called Jeremiah to be a prophet in Jeremiah 1, when he said, beginning with verse 4, "Whatever I command you, you shall speak. Behold, I put my words in your mouth." God, in fact, told Ezekiel in Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 27, "But when I speak with you, I will open your mouth, and you shall say to them, Thus saith the Lord God, He who hears, let him hear. He who refuses, let him refuse. For they are a rebellious house." Zechariah spoke of the inspiration of the prophets before him, and how did the people refuse to hear in Zechariah 7 and verse 12. Yes, they made their hearts like flint, refusing to hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent by his Spirit through the former prophets. Thus great wrath came from the Lord of hosts. Not only did we find, as we've said, that Moses was inspired, as well as the other prophets, and all of that we find concerning the Old Testament, but the New Testament writers said that the Old Testament was inspired. Peter said in 2 Peter 1, beginning with verse 20, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." Jesus endorsed Old Testament stories. Jesus believed what was recorded in the Old Testament to be fact and not fiction. He endorsed the story of creation in Matthew 19 and verse 4. He endorsed the story concerning Noah and the flood in Matthew 24 verses 37 and 38. He endorsed the judgment that came upon Sodom in Matthew 11 and verse 24. He spoke about Lot's wife in Luke 17 and verse 32. And he spoke of the story of Jonah and the whale in Matthew 12 and in verse 40. We not only find then that the Old Testament writers were inspired, but so were the New Testament writers. The apostles claimed to speak and to write by inspiration. It was Paul that said in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1, "Now the Spirit speaks expressly." Peter referred to Paul's writings in 2 Peter 3, verses 15 and 16 as Scripture. Paul explained that the apostles and the prophets were guided by the Spirit of God to write down the things that were in the mind of God. We read of this in the book of Ephesians. Notice in Ephesians chapter 3, beginning with verse 2, "If indeed you have learned of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to you for me, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets." You see, the same apostles claimed that what he spoke at Thessalonica was the Word of God. He said in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13 that they had not received the words, as it were, words of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God. Paul told the Galatians that he received his gospel, but he did not receive it from men. Look in Galatians chapter 1 and see what we read in verse 11. "But I have made known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ." So we see then that in all of this, what he wrote to the Corinthians and others was truly the commandment of God. He made that statement in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Notice what he says in verse 37. "If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord." So these writers could make this claim because Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would guide them into all truth. All we have to do is go back to John chapter 14, 15, and 16 to see in Jesus' conversation, he promises them the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, that would guide them into all truth. In fact, he made the statement to them in John chapter 16 and verse 13 that he will glorify me. I'm sorry, reading the wrong verse. John chapter 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. The apostles were directed in what and how to speak. The apostles were told in Matthew 10, verses 19 and 20, but when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you shall speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father that speaks in you. Notice that they would be told both what, that is the content of the message, and how, that is the words to express the message. When we look at the nature of inspiration, we see that all of the Bible is inspired. Paul said all Scripture is inspired of God, 2 Timothy 3:16. The psalmist said that all of God's precepts are right, Psalm 119, verse 128. So what is true of one prophet, inspired of God, was true of others. One Bible writer is just as inspired as the other. But also, every word being inspired of God is what inspiration is. Some believe in thought inspiration. That theory says that God gave the writer the thought to teach, but the writer was left to choose his own words. But that kind of thinking would make the Bible subject to error. The Bible claims that not only is the entire book inspired, but that every word was chosen by the Holy Spirit. Paul said, these things we also speak, not in words that man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual words. Notice that the words were chosen by the Holy Spirit. That's what verbal inspiration is. So the Scriptures are reliable, right down to the very smallest of detail. Jesus said, for assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth shall pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law until all is fulfilled. Matthew 5, verse 18. See, a jot is the smallest Hebrew letter. A tittle is the small stroke distinguishing from one Hebrew letter from another. A jot and a tittle is sort of a whole lot like a dot of the I and the crossing of the T. Jesus said that there would be not one jot or tittle to pass until all was fulfilled. His point is that the Scriptures are true and they are reliable, down to the very smallest of detail. Friends, there's evidence of the inspiration of the Scriptures. One is the resurrection of Christ. If Jesus was not raised from the dead, that proves there's no God. Jesus is divine and what he says is true. The empty tomb is just one of the many proofs that Jesus indeed rose from the dead. The unity of the Bible is certainly another clue to its inspiration, and all of the prophecies and their fulfillment that we can't take time to go into are further evidence of the inspiration of the Bible. We see our time is gone. Thank you so much for listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. Until then, we bid you a pleasant good day, and now we return you to our announcer.